Good morning. Thank you for being here today to share the Dharma together. Today we'll be working on a koan from the Wumen Guan. Case number 15, Dongshan's 60 Blows. The case reads, Dongshan came to study with Yunmen. Yunmen asked, "Where have you come from?" Dongshan said, "From Cha Du." Yunmen asked, "Where were you during the summer training period?" Dongshan said, "I was at Postzu Monastery in Hunan." Yunmen asked, "When did you leave there?" Dongshan said, "On the 25th of August." Yunmen said, "I spare you 60 blows." The next day, Dongshan came again to Yunmen and asked, "Yesterday you said you spared me 60 blows. I do not know where I was at fault." Yunmen said, "You rice bag! Why do you wander from west of the river to south of the lake?" With this, Dongshan had a great satori. Wumen's commentary. If Yunmen had given the fodder of the truth and awakened in Dongshan the one path of vitality, Yunmen's house would not have been vacated. All through the night, in the ocean of yes and no, Dongshan struggled to the ultimate. When the long-awaited dawn broke, he went again to Yunmen, who explained everything in detail. Even though Dongshan had realization, he was not yet brilliant. Now let me ask you, should Dongshan have been beaten or not? If you say yes, then grasses, bushes, and trees should all be beaten. If you say no, then you make Yunmen a liar. If you can be clear about this, then you and Dongshan will breathe together. And Wumen's verse. The lion rejects her cub. She kicks it and dodges away. The second arrow connected beyond causation. The first only nicked him, but the second went deep. Yunmen, the master in this case, is sometimes spoken of as the greatest of all the Tang era masters. His dates are 864 to 949 of the Common Era, which puts him at the very end of the Tang Dynasty. He is famous for his short, lightning responses to questions. Here are some examples. Someone asked Master Yunmen, "I am definitely on the wrong track. Please, Master, give me some instruction." The Master said, "What are you talking about?" And again, "How can I understand your one phrase, Master? It's the 25th day of the 12th month." And again, a monk asked Yunmen, "What is Buddha?" Yunmen said, "A shit stick." Yunmen is completely free. But don't get the idea that he's being abusive or irrelevant. Yunmen's freedom is that of the rain to fall, the sun to shine, or the lightning to strike. Dongshan, whose Japanese name is Tozan, whom we meet here, is Dongshan Shouju, who lived from 910 to 990 of the Common Era. He is not Dongshan Liangjie, who lived a century or so earlier and was co-founder of the Zaodong or Soto school of Chan and was also the author of the Five Ranks. So we might call the Dongshan of this case Dongshan the Younger. He was born in Shanxi province in northern China, right near the Mongolian border. So he had to travel nearly 1,000 miles on foot in order to reach Guangdong in the south, near modern-day Hong Kong, in order to meet Yunmen. We meet Dongshan again in case number 18 of the Wumen Guan. A monk asked Master Dongshan, "What is Buddha?" Dongshan said, 3 pounds of flax." A worthy disciple of Yunmen. But at the time of this case, he is a young monk at his first meeting with the master. This exchange is unusual for Yunmen in that he continues the conversation for some time before he finally lowers the boom. On his arrival at Yunmen Shan, which means Gate of the Clouds Mountain, that's the monastery that was built for Yunmen, Dongshan presents himself to the master, just as a new member might go to Doksan to pay his or her respects to the teacher. But of course, Yunmen is no ordinary teacher. And as it turns out, Dongshan is no ordinary monk. The dialogue begins innocently enough. Dongshan came to study with Yunmen. Yunmen asked, "Where have you come from?" Anyone who has worked on koans or looked at stories of the ancients will recognize this question. Where have you come from? Where are you now? In this world of coming and going, show me who you are. What is your original face? Or just, where have you come from? The question is what we make of it. The question is, in a sense, created by the answer. But Zen teachers tend not to ask such questions just to make conversation. Dongshan answers from Cha Du. Is that an ordinary answer? I'm from California. Or Denver. Or is it something else? And how can we know? In case number 15 in the Shoyoroku, Guishan asks Yangshan, "Where have you been?" Yangshan answers, "In the rice field." Without knowing their history, could we see any difference between these two exchanges so far? What about Yunmen? What does he see in this young monk? Well, for all their genius, the Tang masters weren't psychic. So Yunmen must ask another question, probe further. Yunmen asked, "Where were you during the summer training period?" Dongshan said, "I was at Postzu Monastery in Hunan." That first answer could have been anything. But this one, not really sounding like Dharma. But still, he was at a monastery. He wasn't just messing around. And now, like a good monk, he is traveling. Yunmen asked, "When did you leave there?" Dongshan said, "On the 25th of August. Okay, this is getting to be a bore. How did you get here? Oh, by bus. What time did you leave downtown? Oh, about noon. We could go on like that for another hour. Time to shake things up." Yunmen said, "I spare you 60 blows. Ouch! In ancient China, the numbers 30 or 60 were used in the way we might use the word, a ton. Just means a whole lot. To say, "I give you 60 blows, is telling the student, "I'm going to beat on you until you wake up." in that backhanded Chinese way. It is a vow of commitment. So when Yun Men says to Dongshan, "I spare you 60 blows," he is utterly rejecting him as a student. Can you imagine going to Doksan and the teacher saying, "You know, you aren't worth my time. Just go away. I spare you 60 blows." How is it that Yun Men can say this? Why would any Zen teacher send a student away like that? Especially one as sincere as the young Dongshan. Is this rejection? Is it a calculated ploy to shake up the kid, see what he's made of? Or is it something else? In this moment, in the moment of "I spare you 60 blows," you must clearly see Yun Men and Dongshan, even as you must clearly see Zhu Zhe and the boy at the moment of cutting off the finger. Yun Men cuts off Dongshan as thoroughly as Zhu Zhe cuts off the finger. What has been cut off? Now, at that time in China, there was no doksa, no private interview. This whole drama was played out before the entire assembly. How do we deal with it? Life is full of rejections, disappointments, insults, offenses, abuse. Even in Sesshin, maybe especially in Sesshin, powerful negative emotions can come up. Sorrow, embarrassment, anger, fear, paranoia. How do we deal with them? In case number 48 in the Hekigan Roku, when Minister Wang went to Zhao Qing Temple, they were making tea. Elder Long, lifting the kettle to bring it to Ming Zhao, the head monk, happened to overturn it. Seeing this, the minister asked, "What's under the tea stove?" Long said, "The god of the hearth." The minister said, "If it is the god of the heart, why has it upset the kettle?" Long said, "A 1,000 days of government service and only one accident." The minister shook out his sleeves and left the room. When a Chinese practitioner shakes out his sleeves, it is a sign of deep disappointment and disapproval. Ming Zhao said, "Elder Long, you have long eaten the food of Zhao Qing Temple, but still you wander about the countryside gathering charred wood." Long said, "What about you?" Ming Zhao said, "That is where the devil gets the better of you." How do you suppose Elder Long would react to "I spare you 60 blows"? In case 13 of the Wu Men Guan, one day Da Shan came to the dining room carrying his bowls. Shui Feng asked him, "Where are you going with your bowls? The bell has not rung and the drum has not been struck." Da Shan turned around and went back to his room. How do you suppose Da Shan would react to "I spare you 60 blows"? Each of us is free to react as we will. The situation could be exactly the same, but each person sees it as a different matter. Each person makes it different. What is Dongshan's reply to "I spare you 60 blows"? What does he do? What does he do? He faces it. As Wu Men tells us in the commentary, all through the night and the ocean of yes or no, Dongshan struggled to the ultimate. Dongshan sat and he faced it. He faced all the doubts, discouragements, and despair. He is devastated, and he fully accepts that devastation. He doesn't avoid or run away from it. He enters into it fully, takes it on, even as Jacob wrestled with God. This dark night of the soul is a good sign. When the dark night rears its head, you can't run from it. You can't ignore it. You can't talk or think or ideate yourself around it. You must embrace it. Enter into it. The only possible direction is forward. And what comes out of that long, long night? Enlightenment? An experience? No, something much more important. Something that will carry you far past any temporary experience, good or ill, or a Sesshin high. It is that which will take your practice to the next level again and again. For Tongshan, it's all compressed into one night. The next day, Tongshan came again to Yunmen and asked, "Yesterday you said you spared me 60 blows. I don't know where I was at fault. What does it take to return to the place of monumental defeat and humiliation? What does it take to go back to Doksan again and again, only to hear it every time, 'No, keep working on it,' ding-a-ling? What has Tongshan become in this moment of return?" Yunmen said, "You rice bag, why do you wander from west of the river to south of the lake?" West of the river, south of the lake. In The Roaring Stream, Nelson Foster writes, "It was said that a monk remained ignorant unless he made pilgrimage west of the river and south of the lake, journeyed, that is, to see Ma Zu in Jiangxi province," literally, Jiangxi means west of the river, "and Shi To in Hunan, south of the lake." Ma Zu and Shi To were legendary masters a few hundred years before the time of this present case. Yunmen is not berating Tongshan for wandering around at random. Actually, wandering at random would have been better. But Tongshan was seeking wisdom from a master. He was going from monastery to monastery, chasing after the imagined wisdom of the likes of Ma Zu and Shi To, which is why he came at last to Yunmenshan. Tongshan traveled a very long way just to meet the legendary Yunmen. And now, is he being told he was wasting his time? Why do you wander? We can get hipped on the notion of a spiritual journey. We read books, go to lectures, workshops, retreats. We might even travel great distances to India or Japan. Maybe this is okay for a while, but it can get to be like visiting all the trees in the forest and never actually climbing one. Zhao Zhou said, "Others seek, I find." At some point, you have to stop. You have to find. Yunmen said, "You rice bag, why do you wander from west of the river to south of the lake?" With this, Tongshan had a great satori. Don't go looking to the ancients. Don't look to me, don't look even to Yunmen. That searching without finding is itself bondage. You must look in the one place of all places where there is complete liberation. Where is that place? Where will you look? When you really see that place, then you are free. The Sufi poet Kabir writes, "I laugh when I hear that the fish in water is thirsty. You don't grasp the fact that what is most alive of all is inside your own house. And so you walk from one holy city to the next with a confused look." Kabir will tell you the truth. Go wherever you like, to Calcutta or Tibet, if you can't find where your soul is hidden, for you, the world will never be real. Wu Min's commentary. If Yun Men had given the fodder of the truth and awakened in Dung Shan the one path of vitality, Yun Men's house would never have been vacated. This reference is to one of the five houses of Chan in ancient China. The house of Yun Men only lasted a couple of generations after Yun Men's passing. All through the night, in the ocean of yes and no, Dung Shan struggled to the ultimate. When the long-awaited dawn broke, he went again to Yun Men, who explained everything in detail. Even though Dung Shan had realization, he was not yet brilliant. Now let me ask you, should Dung Shan have been beaten or not? If you say yes, then grasses, bushes, and trees should all be beaten. If you say no, then you make Yun Men a liar. If you can be clear about this, then you and Dung Shan will breathe together. If Yun Men had given the fodder of the truth, well, what should Yun Men have done? Be nice? Explain it kindly? More words. How would that have helped? Yun Men teaches. A mountain teaches. A thunderstorm teaches. It's up to us to learn. And not everybody gets it. As for his house being vacated, what are we all doing here? Working on his koans, along with Zen students all over the world. Yun Men's house contains multitudes. All through the night in the ocean of yes and no, Dung Shan struggled to the ultimate. After that long night, what was Dung Shan's condition? If you were to ask him, he might describe it as 50 kinds of awfulness, utter misery. For one who has never experienced the bare emptiness of the mind, it can be terrifying. The one thing that the ego I fears above all else is its own unreality, its own non-being. Letting go of it feels like dying. And in a way, it is a kind of dying. In fact, it can feel far worse than mere physical death. When Dung Shan returns to Yun Men the next day, he's a walking dead man, but he doesn't yet know it. Now, Yun Men's job is easy. He doesn't really have to explain anything. All he has to do is give one more little push. You rice bag, why do you wander? And of course, Wu Men can't resist taking another shot. Should Dung Shan have been beaten or not? If you say yes, then grasses, bushes, and trees should all be beaten. If you say no, then you make Yun Men a liar. Does Dung Shan deserve a beating? Is Yunmen a liar? From the very beginning, all beings are by nature Buddha. Nevertheless, we all deserve to be beaten with Yunmen's stick, shot with his arrow. Everything must be beaten. The universe must be beaten. What is Yunmen's stick? And how did Dongshan make use of it? Wu Men's verse. The lion rejects her cub. She kicks it and dodges away. The second arrow connected beyond causation. The first only nicked him, but the second went deep. Ignoring Wu Men's rather questionable grasp of zoology, this is how the ancient masters did it. Kick the students, dodge away, see who comes again. These days we practice a kinder, gentler Zen, more appropriate to our time and place. But still, the practice is the practice. I've never met a serious student of Zen who did not have a core of iron. The first only nicked him, but the second went deep. Do you suppose that Wu Men got it backwards? One could just as well say that the first arrow went very deep. It penetrated into the heart of Dongshan and caused a wound that would not be cured except by a long, long night. And even then, he needed a little more help. How so? Because he let it. The student was completely opened to the teacher and to the teaching, no matter how painful. Thus the second arrow connected beyond causation. But without that first arrow, would the second have done anything? One arrow, 100 arrows. Deep, shallow. For Elder Lang, who tipped over the tea kettle, an arrow might just bounce off his ego armor with no effect whatsoever. For Deshan, with his bowl, there is no arrow. For Dongshan, the arrow is a gift beyond price. It all depends on how you see it, how you use it. A pebble strikes a bamboo stalk. A train whistle blows. Yunmen says, I spare you 60 blows. And again he says, you rice bag. Now, is you rice bag the same as I spare you 60 blows, or is it different? How do you see Yunmen's arrows or Yunmen's stick? How will you use them? Together with all beings, we realize the way.